Welcome to Freestyle Thoughts, a dance podcast. I'm your host, Anna, and this is episode 13. I am so happy to present today's episode. I am joined by another friend of mine, Justin Lee, and he's also a recreational dancer. And, you know, he gave me some of his time to record this episode, and we talked about our thoughts on the process of learning dance and directing styles. Honestly, it was more us talking, like how we talk as if we weren't being recorded, more so than it felt like recording a podcast episode. So take that as you will. I am so glad that I was able to record this episode and that our schedules allowed for this, because I think Justin does bring a very unique perspective to the conversation. And yeah. Also, as a warning, I suppose, I was in fact drinking boba, apparently, when we were recording this episode, and when I was taking sips, I thought I muted my mic, and I did not. So I apologize. I tried to edit out the background noise, but I can only go so far because I'm still an amateur. So please excuse the occasional ASMR-esque gulping noises in the background. But yeah, please enjoy the episode. Welcome, Justin, to Freestyle Thoughts, a dance podcast. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Thank you for inviting me, Anna. My name is Justin Lee. I'm a senior at Rice University studying computer science. And I did a bit of dancing with Anna before she graduated. So, yeah, that's my background.
Nice. Would you mind sharing how you started dancing?
Yeah. I started dancing one semester in high school, in like a performance called Sty Squad, and it was like a short hip-hop performance that I prepared for like 2 months, and then after that I stopped. Afterward, I started again in college in sophomore year at the the start of sophomore year I started up dance again. That's my whole experience.
Nice. So let's jump into the more the meat.
Okay.
The meat and potatoes, as I once referred to it.
Okay, why potatoes? I'm confused.
What? No, it's like the real part of the meal.
Okay.
Like the so real part of the just, episode.
You don't just eat meat by itself. You're just telling me that right now.
I mean, I think you know how I eat Korean barbecue.
Actually, no, not really.
Yeah, am I the only observational one out of the two of us?
I'm sorry, but like, is there a specific way that people eat Korean barbecue? I thought it was just like you eat the meat that's like grilled on the thing for you.
Yeah. But like the one time that we all like went out for like barbecue, which was 2 years ago. Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it,
right? Yeah.
You introduced the group to like eating the meat with the lettuce, and people were enthralled with that, and I said hard pass.
You said hard pass? Wait, why?
I'm not a fan.
You're not a fan? Oh my gosh. You just rejected all of Korean culture right there. Oh my god.
Well, what can I say?
It's okay. I, on behalf of all Koreans in the world, forgive you.
Yes, because you have the authority to do that.
Exactly. That's me. I'm the spokesperson of the whole Korean race. anyway. Yeah. Shall we?
All right. So my experience on joining BASIC was very different from yours in a lot of respects. For me, just fun fact, I joined because I wanted to do something that was more chill than like Chinese dance, which I had been doing like before only. And it was also a different style, so I just wanted to try. And not to sound full of myself, but I knew joining, I was kind of towards the front of the curve skill-wise, just because I had a lot more, like, experience. I wasn't a beginner dancer when I joined, right?
Yeah, yeah. Naturally, that makes sense.
I don't know. I feel like when people say, not to like, be full of myself, but, and then they say something that's just, like, totally unwarranted.
No, I think it's totally warranted.
So I'm just kind of wondering, because you also joined during, like, a really, like, odd year. Like, there were lots of changes happening. I guess I don't really have a defined question. I'm just genuinely curious. What were your thoughts, opinions on essentially being forced into the same room with lots of dancers? I don't know, like, just like the big skill divide. What were your thoughts?
Oh.
If you can remember.
Yeah, no, totally. I guess, should I talk about... I can talk about both Trust Fund Baby, which was in the fall, and then... And the dances that were in the spring of the next year. I can talk about those experiences. I think I didn't really notice it that much because I knew that I definitely remember seeing a big divide in, like, skill level. There were just people from every skill level in the dance. For example, the first dance that I joined was Trust Fund Baby that you were directing, right, in the fall. And, yeah, was there, I believe, was there. They didn't have any experience dancing along with me, basically. I had basically no experience. And then I believe, well, obviously you were there. Yeah, I'm just trying to think. Who did I remember that was particularly good? I mean, was there, and I know that she definitely was significantly better than us. Now, I can't remember too many people that were, like, super high skilled compared to, like, you know, besides you and I think I was pretty comfortable with it. Nothing was really, like, jarring or surprising to me, cause, except for the fact that I expected more people that were better at dancing, because, like...
How interesting. Like, that's actually really interesting, because...
Yeah.
People say that, who are also, like, from, like, has said that on multiple occasions. So it's very interesting that you also thought that, coming from, like, a different background. Very interesting.
I think it's because in high school, I encountered a lot, like, I really looked up to my high school competitive dancing team, and they were really, really good, you know? And they were first-time dancers, and they, like, a lot of them were first-time dancers, and then they were really good. They competed in competitions and stuff like that, and they won awards and stuff like that, right? So then I was expecting that, like, people like that from different high schools, you know, probably came to universities like this, and they probably were already at, like, a much higher level than most of us. But then I was surprised that, like, lots of people just like me were, like, just picking it up for the first time or just exploring it. So that was unusual, because I was like, you know, I thought that I would be entering it late, you know, I'd be starting off, you know, slower than most people, but, like, yeah, I was just surprised, I guess. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And then, okay, like, I've been saving this topic, but what's your opinions on, like, auditions in general? Because for me, in the context of dance as a whole, I just have lots of opinions on auditions and competitions. But, I mean, like, the context of BASIC specifically, auditions were new that first year that you joined, that there were lots of problems. I know they tried to fix it after we came in and broke everything.
Yeah, I know what you're trying to say. Like, I think that even in theory, even if the implementation of the theory was a mess, you know, in our specific scenario, I think that regardless of the implementation, I think the idea of doing auditions in a school that's so small as ours, and in a school that where students prioritize academics over most things, and they're, like, very serious about academics generally, I think the audition system was kind of doomed to fail.
Interesting, because, you know, Rice does have audition groups. Like, RDT is an audition group.
No, you're right. I think, when I think of Rice, I think of, like, a very, like...
academics.
Yeah, very academics-focused, you know? Like, it is a very rigorous school, you know? And there's not that much time for extracurriculars. And the people who do extracurriculars are, like, you know, hardcore devoted to their craft. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, there are lots of audition-based groups. I just think that, man, no, you're right. Maybe it was that BASIC is the only group that is casual dancing-wise, besides, like, at the time. Like, now there are more. Like, for example, like, Rice Ria, not Rice Ria, Kisama, Rice Kisama. But yeah, I mean, because it's the only, casual group. I think I just kind of, I'm pivoting my positions. You're right. There are successful audition groups on campus, which honestly still kind of don't make that much sense to me. But considering, my reasons from before, but yeah, because BASIC's the only major casual group for dancing, it didn't really make sense for me to make a significant part of that audition based. Yeah.
No, I definitely see where you're coming, just because auditions, it's definitely a double-edged sword for dances that were audition-based that were highly coveted. At least like that 1 year that I had experience with it within BASIC, like walking into audition, everyone definitely like stepped up their game. But on the other hand, you're right. It doesn't really make sense for like a casual group like BASIC that is first and foremost catered towards less experienced dancers.
Right.
I don't know. I was just curious.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. That's an interesting question.
Was just curious because, I mean, BASIC didn't do competitions, but once you factor in like competitions, that can get like super messy super fast.
How so?
I mean, I only have experience in the Chinese dance competition sphere, and I don't know. It's there's I have so many opinions about it. I've done it twice now, once against my will and once for funsies, and they were both awful.
Thanks. So, what are your opinions on the audition system then? I mean, based on your experience in Chinese dance.
My opinion is that okay, like what do you mean? Like my opinion like in general or like
Yeah, I mean, because you said you had a lot of opinions on BASIC's audition system.
okay, in the context of BASIC, I think sometimes dancers who are super pro audition in the context of BASIC it might be a good idea for to take a second to reassess yourself, because what I've noticed a lot is for dancers, dancers have like a lot of ego, and you know what? Fair enough. But you need to be able to balance ego with humility, so that like you can dance and still stick to your guns, but you also need to improve. You need to be humble and recognize that there's somebody better in the room.
Right.
So if you're super pro auditions, it tends the people who don't have like any qualms with auditions that I've talked to tend to have been picked for every audition, like been accepted into every audition that they've done, have a certain belief about themselves that isn't necessarily untrue, but it's not like they're ignoring like a self-realization thing, I think, if you know.
I see. So they're not super
Like they're blinded by their own ego a little bit, because their experience up until that point has only reaffirmed their ego.
Got it.
And it's like not really their fault if their experience has been an echo chamber. Because, when you're like equal to somebody, it's really hard. The question then becomes more of like a social question of how much is it my place to break you out of your echo chamber?
Right.
And it's like hard to overstep that boundary. Especially when you know that such a topic can be very difficult conversation,
Right, yeah.
and it's like how worth it is it to have this conversation?
Yeah.
So there's that aspect of auditions that were always kind of bothered me. The other aspect was that I'm not sure the people who had audition dances, I'm not sure if all of them were at the time qualified to be able to have an audition dance, if that makes sense.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, like auditions did raise, like making people work harder.
I see.
So it's just, I don't know, I think the way that it was implemented that first year was not great.
I see. Wait, could I clarify my position on, like, earlier?
Yeah.
The statement I made earlier?
No, what's been said is said. No, go for it.
As I hear you speak, it kind of reminds me of, you said, the audition system makes people work harder, through the process of competition, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the reason why I was so strongly against the idea of it, existing at Rice, having the audition, a very competitive, not very competitive, but, a competitive system within Rice or, Basic specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I think the reason why I pushed back on it a lot in my mind and I didn't think it would work was just because, I think for me, Basic has always been a very, historically it has been a casual place to learn dance, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's as low of a commitment as you need it to be. It can be as high as a commitment as you want it to be. As for example, do 8 dances if you want in a cycle. Or you can just do 1, which is an hour a week commitment.
Mm-hmm.
I guess because I imagined it as such a casual sphere, and based on my experience, I've grown very sick of competition and stuff like that. I do imagine Basic, the very casual sphere of taking on a kind of competitive tinge to it, was a very... personally a very repulsing idea.
Mm-hmm.
One of the few places that exist for dancing that you can just do very casually, and then if you have the presence of competitive dances, it changes the essence of Basic a little bit in my head. It makes it more serious almost.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it does. It's great that it improves the skill level, but I don't know. It does, what do you think about the identity of Basic, I guess? How do you see Basic? Is it similar to how I see it, or is it different?
I mean, I think one thing that you were not... I mean, you know this, but, you haven't seen as much, is that Basic goes through, generations. There was the Sean Cow generation of Basic, right? And then there was, at some point, they called it the era of two Rachels, two Sarahs, two something. I don't know. And that was before me. Yeah. And then there was Kathy. She was 2 years above me. And then there was the COVID year. And now there's new age growth, regrowth of Basic.
Right.
So... if you're asking me about Basic as a whole, it's really hard for me to answer that. Even in my podcasts here, I've been breaking it down to pre-COVID Basic and post-COVID Basic, because those are just two very different identities, both in terms of the social aspect, skill level, what kind of fads Basic was going through dance-wise, etc.
Gotcha.
Sorry, what was your question?
So I was just thinking about, what is your opinion on the identity of Basic? If you want to split it up into before and after COVID, I'd be curious on both, your opinions on both.
I think, if the question is, what is Basic's meant to be, most idealized version of Basic, and that, I think my opinions of it is very similar to yours, where it's a very casual group. You could be as involved or as not involved as you want. It's whatever. That was why I joined.
Right.
But in terms of what it actually ended up looking like, I would say that it was more true of the pre-COVID Basic. And then post-COVID Basic.
Yeah.
Obviously, we were in recovery and trying to keep numbers up in terms of directors, just because at the time, there just were not. I mean, this change with the cipher, for my senior year, that changed. But, at least, at the beginning of the year, there was, a severe, director shortage.
Right.
So, it was kind of, a concern of, getting enough people interested in directing. When and I left, that there would be, at least 2 people to fill our slots. Hopefully more. And maybe this is kind of just, the tone that the leadership set at the time, but it was, more of an emphasis on skill, and you were kind of more rewarded if you were a high skill dancer.
Gotcha. That makes sense. And that's interesting because you're saying before COVID, it was even more casual.
Yeah, it was super casual. I don't know. Like, there was a girl who was an upperclassman who had so issues with some of the people in basic, I guess, like her sophomore or freshman year. So she was in basic, took a break for a year, and then she came back. And it was just like, to her, it was like nothing had changed. But for example, I'm betting that when she first came back to basic, it was kind of like, in some ways, like whiplash, because it was very different basic than what she left.
I see. Yeah.
One of the things that, I mean, I wasn't a part of this era, but I kind of caught the tail end of this era of basic, but pre-COVID basic had more of a encouragement for self-choreography.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you didn't know, basic originally like was more of a self-choreographed hip-hop group.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Then it like transitioned over time to what it is today.
I see. I just remembered, for some reason, like random snippets of conversation, I just remember them very clearly and everything else just kind of disappears. But like the one thing I do remember what said around a year and a half ago or something was something like people should only teach their own choreographed pieces after they've reached some kind of dance for two years or more. Like she said something about like, if you're either like, actually, I don't know if I should be saying this because I don't remember it very specifically.
Are you saying?
I don't want to like misattribute her quote. Yeah.
Are you sure this was and not somebody else?
I believe it was. I think that's what I remember.
Because I remember the sentiment, yeah. But it was attributed to somebody very different.
Who was it? No. I still think it was. And I don't think she meant it in like a gatekeepy way. I think she just, I just remember saying something like, yeah, like you have to be a certain level to teach your own choreographs.
Interesting. I mean, I don't think she's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree either. I just think that like that just came to mind when you were talking about that.
I think like basic back then, the inaugural basic was more dedicated to self choreography and like kind of freestyle, like what a true cypher would be.
Right.
And so obviously one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you was because you came from a very different background and you mentioned that you actually wanted to talk about freestyling. So I don't know. I didn't know what you really meant by that specifically. So let's talk about it.
Sure. It's actually connected to like a topic of more like what about dance that you enjoy. Because for me, like, I think the parts of dance I actually enjoy is freestyling and, sometimes performing. Like, no, freestyling and performing are probably the only two parts of dance that I actually enjoy. And the reason why freestyling came up was because of that. Now, I wanted to talk about that discussion, like, what do you actually enjoy about dance? Like do you enjoy learning the dances? Do you enjoy practicing for the dances? Like what part of dance do you enjoy, I guess?
Like me personally?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I've been doing it for such a long time that I kind of like enjoy all aspects of it. Sorry, it's a lame answer.
No, yeah, I mean that's fair. Yeah, I think I'll just, like, I think the reason why this topic is pretty big on my mind is I've just been recently thinking that I actually don't really enjoy the practicing or learning aspect of most dances.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I actually think that I've been wondering for a while that, like, maybe I really just enjoy the end product of it.
Interesting.
And it's like a disturbing conclusion to come to when you've already invested a lot of time. I think it's disturbing just because like a lot of people like you, you know, enjoy every aspect of it. And when people just like the end product, it just kind of feels like I'm in love with the idea and not the actual thing that dance is. Like, dance is like 80% just practicing it, you know?
I mean,
And if I don't
yeah.
enjoy, yeah,
But I
I don't know.
mean, I hate filming. Like, I don't like practicing without a goal. Like, that's one of the reasons why I kind of dropped basic in like during the fall of my co of COVID year.
What was the goal? Like, you felt like you didn't have a goal when you were practicing?
Yeah, we were just like filming TikTok videos, and I'm like, this isn't, I'm not here for this. I'm out.
I see. Wait, but what kind of goal is there? Like, isn't it just to learn and perform this dance?
I
Like,
mean,
what kind of goals do you think about?
I don't know because I've been thinking about this a lot too, and not only because of like what my current like dance circumstances are, but also for the podcast. Like, I don't like doing solos.
Oh, you don't like doing solos?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like,
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Like, I for me, a lot of I mean, a lot of dance is it's just like in general, it's just like about like energy, right? And
Right.
that's one of the reasons why I hate filming. Like, you don't really get a lot like the synergy, like the synergy from like the audience, and then it like fuels your performance, then your performance fuels like the audience is like hype or whatever. Like, there that's not
Right.
there when you're filming. And
That's
similarly,
true.
when you're doing a solo, at least for me, I get a lot of energy around from like the people around me when I dance, which is very ironic because in my social life I am not like that. But
Funny.
like I
Wait,
love doing group dances because it's just like I don't know, it's just like in some ways solos are harder that way because it's like you have to put in the energy of like five people and when you're performing. But I don't
Right.
know, I just like I feel empty when I do solos.
I see. So, like, you feel like it seems to me like when you're dancing, you most prefer when energy is coming into you from other sources and you don't like exerting it from yourself.
Well, it's not that
Because,
I
like,
don't
when
like
there are people
exerting it
around
from.
you, yeah.
It's like
Right,
I'm
yeah.
not like
I'm not
a.
saying it's a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just observing.
I don't know. Like maybe I mean I'm not like an endless generator.
Yeah. That's fine. But yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting.
Look, I think it's
But I
fine to
mean,
like
yeah.
not love the practice, and like and to like prefer the performance part because like I think a lot of people are like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, people don't enjoy the practice part of it?
I mean, I'm gonna say that they don't enjoy it. Like, you still go to practice so you can have the end result.
Right. No, I'm just curious because like when I see basic dancers, like a lot of them just like learn random TikTok dances or like they know the general choreography of newly released songs. Like, for example, when I think of for example, I think of when I think of this, and you can send it out if you want. Like whenever a dance like comes out, like she generally knows like the choreograph of it after like a couple days after it comes out, right? Just like how, for example, when Super Shy came out, like everyone kind of knew like the general like 8 count, maybe even 16 count around it, right? The chorus.
True.
So like for me, I never was really interested in that. It never was enjoyable to learn new dances. It's just like enjoyable to. And that's why I feel like that's why it feels like there's like a divide between me and typical members of Basic, because it seems like typical members of Basic just enjoy the process of learning new dances because they are learning new dances all the time. They want to be in as many dances as possible, and it gives them a lot of joy to like they talk about like after all of my work at the end at after all my work until like 6 p.m. I'm finally able to like go to a basic dance practice and like unwind by learning a dance, you know? But
Yeah.
for me, yeah, but like for me, like doing the last hour at the end of the day is actually pretty exhausting for me. It's actually very stressful, honestly. And I do it because I it's almost like a self-improvement thing for me. Like, I want to get better at dancing, and I know at the end goal I'll really enjoy it. So I have to go through it now. It's like a different mindset, and that's why I think there's like a difference.
Interesting.
At least in my head. Do you think so, or like do you think like, do you see that kind of mentality among like typical? I know typical basic numbers is like a generalization, but.
I mean, to answer your question the short way, yeah, I do see that you have, like, I've always known that you've had a different mentality than, like, the majority of basic, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you, because you have a different perspective, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I think a lot of it that's actually at play is just, like, general interests outside of basic. Like, a lot of those people that you mentioned have a general interest in K-pop. You do not.
Mm. That's true.
And, like, if I were your year, you and I would be in the same boat.
Do you, like, are you not a K-pop fan?
I mean,
I'm just surprised, because I thought, for some reason, that you did enjoy K-pop a lot.
I enjoy it, but, like, I don't follow it like the others do.
Yeah, I can see that for sure.
Like, and you can probably even tell that from, like, my music choices in the car. It was just, like, kind of, like, random assortment of
That's true,
music.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Like,
makes sense.
The only, like, artist that I follow, like, intensely is Eric Nam, but he's not even super mainstream, so it's just, like...
Your husband.
Eric Nam. From time to time, I still think about, like, that rant that you went on about Eric Nam when we went to Austin. And then, like, everybody in the car was, like, slowly waking up to, like, your rant about Eric Nam.
Me? Yeah. Me ranting about Eric Nam?
You were, like, doing, like...
What did I say?
You were doing, like, a sarcastic rant about Eric Nam.
What? Wait, why would I barely even know anything about Eric Nam.
I know, and that was, like, kind of, like, the point. You, like, skipped... like one of Eric Nam's song in the car, and I was like, kind of like, how dare you, like, jokingly, and you were like, I love Eric Nam. Eric Nam is my husband, actually. And then you just kept on going on this, like, train, like, and the passed out in the front, and then waking up, and then she goes, when you're done, like, she was like, I kind of regret waking up what I did.
Oh no!
It was like one of those, like, brain empty rants.
I do remember part of that, actually. Yeah.
I don't know what we were saying, but
yeah, I'm trying to remember. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The difference between, like, the mentality between typical basic members and, like, me and you, basically.
Which is, like, I don't know. Like, I think, like, you also have expressed, you enjoyed doing the 1 million choreographies more than you've done, like, the K-pop choreographies. Like, the K-pop choreographies that you've done, at least, like, when I was there, was more out of, like, loyalty to the director than it was, I want to do this dance.
Yeah, it was. It's surprising. I didn't think you noticed that.
Oh, believe me. Very aware of things.
I thought I was being, like, super, like, opaque about it, you know? Like, I love this dance so much. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I mean, at the end of the day, I really did, like, some of the dances that I kind of, like, was not my first choice to do. Like, for example, like, Treasure Dance.
Yeah.
I already was, like, I was, like, no, I'm doing too much. Like, I cannot do the Treasure I Love You dance. But after doing that, like, I really enjoyed it. But that's a tension. Yeah, that's a tension. Sorry.
No, I mean, like, yeah. I mean, like, I knew that you did Sorry Not Sorry because Audrey and I were directing, not because you were like, yeah, I love this choreography.
It was actually kind of fun, but yeah, that was the primary reason.
Versus, like,
I wanted to, like, support you guys. Yeah. Like, it was enjoyable for me too. So
yeah, I mean, like, yeah. For me, a lot of dances I did was out of support of choreography. That's why I did the dances that I did that year. No, dances out of the director. Sorry, I don't know what I'm thinking about.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean.
And, like, I mean, like, I don't know. I feel a lot of people do. Actually, I don't know what the era, what it's like now, but at least like the best way to experience, to get your best experience of basic, in my opinion, per cycle, because we all know that there are like dances that are just like crashing and burning all the time because of like the director.
Right.
Like the way to avoid that is just to do the dances taught by a director that you actually, that you trust and like.
Right, right.
I think it's very interesting that you say that you don't enjoy the process in some ways, because, and I guess this does make sense with what you said now, because I've always seen you as someone who's always like worked very hard and has been able to like achieve what I assume is your goal.
Right.
Like, to the point where whenever and I talk about, we're always like, the fact that Justin didn't get in is unbelievable.
That's so depressing.
Among other names, but your name always comes up.
It's so funny. Do I respond here, or?
I mean, you don't have to. If you don't have a response, I can just move on.
No, I'm just like, specifically about the thing. I saw my videos from there, and it was not nearly as good as the people like that got selected. You know, like I don't think I should deserve that at all. Like. I'm flattered that you guys thought that I improved there, but like, it genuinely, I don't think that I would have,
Yeah. Okay, see, this is you just being humbled. I remember we were watching the auditions, and we were just like, and I remember talking to, and we were like, wow, everyone like stepped up today for this dance. It's actually crazy. The only win for audition system this year. I knew how hard you worked because at that point I was like, I knew who you were. I was friends with you, but, from a director point of view, I knew how hard you worked because when it came to filming to like Trust Fund, you were always on the grind for that. And you were even to the point where like, you know, like there's like always like a lag in between like the actual performance and, Okay, let me rephrase this. There is usually a lag between the performance and then filming it if a director chose to do so. And you were probably one of the best ones in terms of, like, how clean you were when we came to film because you kept on practicing.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm flattered. But, yeah, thank you. I didn't respond to that. Sorry, I don't know what to say.
I guess it's just me praising you, so I guess you would feel awkward being like, yeah, you know what? I am good. I am great. But you know what? I'm going to continue on this train for a little bit because I wrote thoughts out and I want to express them.
Sure, yeah.
Let's talk about like the Eve also. Like you, I remember you helped Audrey a lot with like with some logistics, like the partner turn thingy.
Yes.
You know which part I'm talking about?
I kind of know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, two people back-to-back.
Yeah. I was going to call it the part where... I was going to call it the accidental moon landing part, but...
What?
Did you not experience this?
Wait, can you remind me?
When you were doing that part, did you not accidentally like touch like butts with your butt with the person with your partner's butt?
I don't think I was one of the people, no.
Well, I guess you're lucky then.
Well, I wasn't most people.
Well, experienced it. I experienced it, and I was willing to like do the socially graceful thing and just ignore it, pretend like it never happened. But of course, had a comment on it every single time it happened.
Wait, what did he say?
He's like, oh, oh, it happened again, what? And I'm like, oh my god, like what is wrong with you?
Oh my god, it's so funny. I forgot with your partner. That's so funny.
Yo, that man dragged me. So you know how I was like not doing super hot for a while there?
Yeah.
I toured Cypher, like it was Cypher and Beer Bike, and I was just not doing super hot.
Right.
This man goes, and also like I'm a second semester senior. I have one class on Thursday, so that basically means it's the only day I can like rest and like catch up on like self-cleanliness, and I feel okay about skipping because that class only had projects, had a final project, and it was a pass-fail for me.
Uh-huh.
So I skipped that class more than half the time. And literally goes, what's your first class? And I was like, oh, it's like at 1. He goes, oh, okay, then you can help me with the eve on at like, like 10 or something. And I was like, no.
That's so funny.
And he goes, well, you need to go to class anyways. And I was, and I remember he basically dragged me out of my apartment and made me sit on the floor and watch him do the eve over and over again. And I was drinking my coffee and being like, at least he's good, because if he weren't, I might murder him.
Oh, that's so funny. I remember practicing so much for the eve, though. He practiced so much. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, he just, like, constantly practiced. Like, in the racquetball courts, he was, like...
Didn't he, like, throw out his back?
Oh. Yeah, for, like, a couple days, right? Or was it a week?
It was, like, at least a couple weeks.
Oh, a couple weeks?
Yeah.
Oh. Do you think it was because he practiced the eve too much?
I think he practiced the eve too much without stretching.
Oh.
That's yeah. What I think happens.
That makes sense. Yeah, he didn't want to stretch either for, what's it called? when we did a dance together between me and... Yeah, we didn't really stretch much. Anyway, yeah.
I mean, I don't think that dance required a lot of stretching, though. Like...
I guess so.
Like, you need to be, like, warm to, like, not pull a muscle, but I don't think you need to be, like, stretched in the same way that you were stretching for the eve.
That's true. Yeah, it was a lot more of, like, a flowy, like, yeah. Whatever. You don't, the angles weren't important, you know, like, only energy, basically.
Yeah, and it wasn't, like, with body rolls, it's, like, you know, that does require... your back to be kind of stretched out or like warm, and the only way to do that is just kind of stretch it out. And I'm just guessing that he just didn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah. Where did we come from again?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I forget.
I think my bottom line is just that you have always worked very hard, and the fruits of your labors have always shown.
I'm glad, man. Thank you. Yeah, I think it's because I viewed dance as kind of like a grind almost. Like, I knew I didn't really enjoy it, and I was always just focused on the goal. And honestly, like, personally, like my guilty, not. Pleasure or something, not my guilty pleasure or whatever, but like I think for me a thing that I feel bad about is that like I really enjoy watching videos about dance and then like feeling like I'm the person that's dancing in the video. And I think that's common for a lot of people, like for sure, but I think that I get so much like vicarious the vicarious experience of dancing and like being so good at dancing from the videos, that I think that like I seek to emulate that.
Interesting.
And yeah, like I think I'm just so in love with the end product so much that like I don't know, like the process of dancing just loses its flavor for me.
Interesting.
And I'm just like, yeah, I think that's interesting, just because like I don't know how many people are also like that. I wonder how many people also have like are more end goal focused than they are process focused.
I can definitely understand like where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm. You enjoy both, right? You said you enjoyed all aspects of the.
But I enjoy practice more than you do, I think.
Hmm. What part of the practice do you enjoy the most?
I don't know. I don't know. I've always liked learning dances. Maybe that's because it's memorization isn't too difficult for me, so it's kind of like so it could be fun for me.
I see.
I don't know. I mean, and then practice vibes are great. Like water breaks. Like practice vibes with like the other people in practice are good.
Right.
And, like, you know, dance is a pretty, group dance is definitely, like, team-oriented, and, like, so, like, post-practice bonding is always good. Like, I don't know, I think there's more that goes into dance than just, like, being on the grind, and that's maybe how I view practice.
I see. Like, a more holistic approach to it?
Yeah.
Like, the whole experience of just being there?
Yeah. I mean, like, it wasn't much of a secret that I was super stressed for Trust Fund because there were just so many people and I was only one person.
Yeah, there were a lot of people.
And there's, I had to balance a lot of different skill levels. And I was, like, just responsible for so many people. So, like, those were, like, hard practices for me to, like, get through. At least, like, when we first started doing, once everyone committed and we first started doing formations, like, that was, like, one of the most stressful practices of my life. But, I mean, like, afterwards, those moments that we would go get boba or go to Cane's or whatever, like, those were, I kind of view that as also sort of part of the practice because that's how I got to know, like, the dancers I was working with, like, more on, like, on the personal level. So, which is good, so that when I was directing, I hope that they didn't feel particularly targeted or stuff like that, you know? Because even, like, the most difficult practices can become better with post-practice debriefs. Like, example, when we did, for example, like, when, I mean, both the BTS dances that I've done were not, they weren't walks in the parks, but, like, the post-practice debriefs made them feel better.
I see.
Hello, it's editing Anna, and I'm off script right now because as I am editing the episode I recorded, I am realizing that even after we cut all of the off of the record conversation, Justin and I recorded significantly more than an hour of content, and Justin set time aside to talk with me, and I'm super grateful for that, and it feels weird to then cut off, like, a third of valid conversation just because it didn't fit into one episode. And I think some of the things that we say are, I don't want to say important or particularly relevant to any broader conversation that we have on this podcast, because honestly it's kind of just me yelling into the void more than half of the time. So yeah, long story short, I felt bad about randomly cutting valid conversation, and that's why I'm splitting this episode into two. But yeah, come back next week to hear the conclusion of my conversation with Justin. But as for now, this has been Freestyle Thoughts, a dance podcast, and I hope you come back next week.